Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. From whom all blessings flow. He just wanted you to know that he loves you. That's the whole thing. Isn't that nice of him? I go to him with two thoughts on my mind and heart all the time. I just want to know that he loves me, and I just want him to know that I love him. Not one without the other. It's very important to me. Okay. I don't know how many things, of all the things that we've been praying for the last many years, has already been realized in this past election. But I think it's probably been 120, 130, don't you think, Ely? Maybe 140, 150? Well, because we're keeping tally. Maybe you guys aren't, but we are. And it's not to make us feel good. It's to honor him. He is so amazing. We just want to make sure he gets the glory and the honor for everything that he's done. He didn't have to answer any of these prayers, did he? Well, I mean, he did, because he's God and he's got purposes and plans. But I suppose he could have done it while we were asleep. How many of you are really glad to be in America? I know I am. I think he is such a wonderful friend. I'm so thankful that he loves America the way he does. I'm so thankful that he made us number one so that our stuff could be all but taken care of, so we could just watch and enjoy what he's doing with all the other nations. Amen. He's so wonderful. Well, we've sent out about three newsletters since, November. I think November. And in each newsletter, by the way, if you don't get our newsletters, prophetic newsletters, feel free to contact that little girl right there and give her the information. And we'll put you on the mailing list. And I don't replicate much. Most in each newsletter is reserved for that newsletter. And that's how I'm coming up with the figures, that it's probably 130 to 140 things that we have prayed over that God has answered. Now, this is his thing. I didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for him to pull me out of the inner circle and say, I want you to pray prayers that I can answer for America. I had nothing to do with anything. All I know is I was sound asleep. It was about midnight. Suddenly the Lord awakened me. He just loves to do that, you know, and talk to me. Could he have talked to me before I went to sleep? He really could have. I've even asked him once or twice, are you sure we couldn't do this later? Are you sure you want to do this at, you know, midnight my time or 3 o'clock my time? And apparently it doesn't bother him because the next time he comes, the hour is as ridiculous as the last time. So 30 years of it, you just get you get used to it after a while, believe me. We used to have someone that worked for the ministry. He was translating the Bible for us. And he's not a night person. He's a daytime person. He hates to be awakened in the middle of the night for any reason. So we would hear it for days. Anytime he would be awakened for prayer, to work on the Bible, to do anything. And I asked him one time, I said, why do you get so upset? He said, because it's upsetting. I said, but don't you know that that's when he gives his best secrets out? He said, all I know, I was asleep, and then I was awakened. That's all I know. And I was supposed to learn something really profound from that, which I didn't. But praise the Lord, he's a good God. And Chuck is too. He's a good guy. He's not a good God, but he's a good guy. So here I am. We're in church together tonight. And I have this compelling need to let you know how much Jesus loves you. Many, many things have and are and are going to happen in the next couple of years that have profound significance. And some of those things we really don't want to have happen, but some of them are going to, nevertheless. Some of them we're going to find out as we keep moving along that our continued intercession is going to stop what the enemy had planned. And we're going to be really excited because once again, God has answered prayer. If he isn't trying to show the body of Christ anything else today, he's trying to show the church that he wants to answer our prayers. That he wants to answer our prayers. This is very important to him because, you know, it's like a husband and wife being married, but they never talk. That's no fun, is it? Whatever you learned about him before you got married, because, you know, since you got married, he hardly ever talks. And it isn't that he doesn't love you. It's just he hardly ever talks. And it's like that with God. He doesn't want us to feel like we're women in waiting. And I don't mean, you know, the old meaning of that. But women who wait to hear and wait and wait and wait. And all they want to do is hear. But he never talks. That's not his personality. It's not his character. He wants a relationship with you and me that he can talk and we understand. And it brings us much joy to hear what's on his heart. Amen? He wants to help us grow in him. He wants to help us become the most that we can possibly be as his son or his daughter. That's very important to him. Not only because he wants this relationship. I mean, you may look at it and think, this is so silly. I can never be the kind of relationship or that he wants. This is so silly. I think we should just give up on that. Maybe that's your opinion. But his opinion is, I am so glad that I get to work with his or her heart, her soul, and develop in my child the ability to have a relationship with me. That's his side. Now, whose side do you want to have win? Yeah, me too. Me too. So there are all kinds of things going on all over the world right now, and there are things as Christians, when you hear that they're happening, it is so painful. We don't want this stuff to go on, especially with American citizens. It's just so hard. It's so painful. We'd do anything to stop it, right? But all we can do is pray. Pray and believe. Pray and trust. I want you please to write this down in your journals. 2017 is going to be the year of answered prayer. This is something he's going to do just because he's God and just because you're you. Now, you know, if you're praying and he's doing everything he can and you're doing nothing that you can, you're not part of that equation. But if you will do what you know to do, he wants to promise you he will do what he knows to do. And it's going to work out to produce answers to prayer for you in this year. And for some of you, some of those prayers have been holding for a long time. And even, I heard someone say this morning, will he ever do blah, blah, blah? Yeah, it'll be this year. And if that fits you, it's because, I mean, if you're feeling the touch of the Spirit upon you, it's because that is for you. God is going to begin to make himself three-dimensionally real to his church starting this year. Isn't that wonderful? We need that so badly, don't we? We get down on our knees and we start praying, oh, Papa, blah, 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 blah. And we would give just about anything for him to say, oh, Donnie, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And then when he does that, God spoke to me. That was God. So, well, what did he say, honey? I'll tell you when I get home. I'll see you in a few minutes. Aren't we silly? But he wants to do that for us. You know, when he shows up, in my room anyway, I always give him a second glance because I'm always surprised. Some people say, well, I always know when the Lord's coming. But I have to be very honest with you. I don't. I don't always know when he's coming. But when he does, it sure feels good. And he takes me and he does things that I would not expect him to do. And the reason he can is because I'm in the right place at the right time. Amen. He is the most wonderful being. And the thing is he never changes. He's always wonderful. He always thinks good. You know, even when he has to discipline, he has to discipline. I can tell you this story about my daughter. She doesn't mind, believe me. She's told it. But she was probably, by this time, maybe 8 or 9 years old. And if she, you know, if she needed to be spanked, this was during a transition time where in America, you do spank your kids, you don't spank your kids. I mean, they had all kinds of thoughts about what you're supposed to do. And so, but Ricky was never really bad. So to try to justify ever spanking her was so hard. You spank them if they're yelling and screaming at your face, maybe. But she never did that. She was never... I wouldn't have known what to do with her if she was ever bad, because she just wasn't. She was a good kid. And, but she had really crossed the line this time. She had really crossed the line. And so I knew I was going to have to discipline her, and I didn't want to discipline her. I hated to discipline her. And the reason I hated to discipline her is because don't we hate to hear stories about spanking our kids? It's terrible. She was just so good. But this particular time, she was dealing with a lot of frustrations and she was doing things that she shouldn't have done. You know, like not being as sweet to her mom as she should have been. Something like that. And I told her, I said, you need to get your attitude straightened up or I'm going to have to spank you. And she knew that when I said that I meant it. But she also knew that I hated to spank her. I just hated it. It was so painful to me. And so, anyway, I had to bring her close to me and I had to take her into the bedroom and make her, you know, bend over the bed and get this big, heavy, thick belt, which was about that thick. And there was, like, no strength to it because the back of it was totally cardboard. Very thin cardboard. And the front of it was just nothing but cloth because the belt was the kind that was made to go with the pant. And so I had to spank her and she is crying her head off. Oh my gosh, she's wailing. And when she finished weeping and wailing, she fell down to her knees at the end of the bed. And I said, what are you doing? She said, Mom, I can't do this anymore. I said, you can't do what? I don't know what I thought she was going to do. I can't do this anymore. And I said, do what? And she said, don't you realize you're not really spanking me? I said, but you're crying. She said, because I have to. And I said, why do you have to? And she said, because you're trying so hard to be a good mom. And I want you to know you're being a good mom, so I feel like I need to cry. So you'll know you're being a good mom. Wasn't that sweet of her? And I started laughing. By this time, we're both on the floor laughing our heads off. And I said, I just can't believe that this happened. I can't believe, have I never hurt you when I spanked you? She started laughing and she said, no. You're not strong enough to hurt me, number one, and those flimsy belts wouldn't hurt a fly. No. And I said, well, I feel really embarrassed. She said, don't, Mom, don't. Just don't. Don't even go there. Just be glad that it hasn't hurt. Isn't she a great daughter? You know, that's how she said it. She couldn't play the game anymore. She couldn't tell me she was hurting when she couldn't even tell when I was touching her. So I told you that story for a reason. So when God spanks us, he's a little like that. You know, he doesn't like to discipline us. He hates it. In fact, he says in the word that when the angel of the Lord disciplines us, he himself hurts. It's very painful to him to have to discipline us. But he needs to discipline us. And it doesn't matter if we're 5 years old or if we're 50 years old. Because we'll never grow in godliness, according to the book of Hebrews, if we don't allow him to discipline us and to submit to us in his discipline. Now, isn't he an incredible God? He does. He really does. He has a stronger hand and the stronger arm. Yeah, he does. But the thing is that if you've ever been spanked by him, you know that it really doesn't hurt. It does a little, but it doesn't leave red wounds all over the place because he loves you. And you'd rather have the discipline than to offend him because you wouldn't be disciplined. Amen? Now, this is what I'm doing tonight. I'm doing a little bit of teaching on how to help you walk a little closer to God. And I want to do a little bit of bragging about him regarding America. Now, think about how much America has sinned against God in the last 50 years. A whole lot. I mean, it's like never ending, right? We're always doing the wrong thing. But he hates to discipline us. He hates it. Because we're his. What he wants to do is to bless us. But he also knows that if we do not let him have his way, and if we do not let him become our disciplinarian, he will never be able to bless us the way he wants to. He told me one time, several years ago, he said, Nita, you will have everything that I've ever promised you, you can have. Would you like to know why? I said, yes. Why? He said, because you always submit to my discipline. For instance, when someone gets offended with me for having disciplined my daughter when she was young, that's rebellion. You are in more rebellion than she was. That doesn't mean I'm going to come discipline you. But you're in rebellion. When we need discipline as a parent and we don't give it, we are in rebellion. And the Lord is not allowed to fulfill the totality of his parenting when we refuse to discipline, let him discipline us when it's time. Do you understand that? Discipline, please say this. Discipline is a good thing. Discipline is a good thing. It is a holy and a healthy thing. This is so important that if we do not let him discipline us, we will never enter into his holiness. Wow. Huh. That being the truth, then we must develop hearts to be disciplined. And he's telling me I'll have the answers to the promises because I allow him to discipline me. Now, what kind of a promise is that? He could have said all kinds of things. I like your brown hair. I like your blue eyes. I like the way that you sacrifice for me. I mean, he could have said many things. Amen? But he only said one. And when he said the one thing that he said, it floored me. But the reason he told me that is because he knows that I have learned what the book of Proverbs teaches. And that is the beauty of discipline. It is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. Please say that. If we don't let him discipline us, we are the ones that lose. For years, I would tell him, please discipline me. Please don't let me get away with stuff. Please discipline me. Can you imagine hearing a minister say that? But I meant it. I wanted the discipline because I wanted to be I wanted to be prepared for his holiness. I wanted it so bad. And I know that he would never do anything to me that was not absolutely necessary. How many of you like to just go around and beat on your kids because it gives you something to do? No one? I am so proud of you. And you know he's the same way. Whenever I would have to spank Ricky when she was young, I was crying before I spanked her, during when I spanked her, and after I spanked her. I could not stand to spank my child. It was so painful to me. Of course, when I found out I was never hurting her, I had to figure out what to do so that, you know, we could share in this beautiful experience together. Anyway, so what I want to say to you tonight is this. America is still going to go through some things. You all know that, right? We have to. Not because of the church's sake, but for the sake of the unbeliever They need to learn the holiness of God so that they won't lose it once he sends it upon us. There are just some things that we have to learn. Say, we have to learn. We have to learn because he loves us. How much of these things we still have to learn, I don't know. He hasn't gone down the list of A through F for me and said, this one you still have to go through, this one you still have to go through, and so on and so forth. He hasn't done that. But what he has done is told me that I will not do anything that is not absolutely necessary to bring this nation through to my ultimate goal. Because, Nita, this nation is going to shine. So, are you willing to go through some discipline in order to go through some shining? I'm so glad. And you'll know every time that it hurts. I don't know how many of you had parents like this, but my parents always did this, and I'd always think they were lying to me, because they would say, now, just hold still, because this hurts me more than it hurts you. How many of you had parents that would say that to you? And I think, no way is this going to hurt you more than it hurts me. This is going to hurt me a lot. And they would say to me again, now, be still. The more still you can be, the faster that this can go, because this hurts me as much as it hurts you, if not more. So I'd try so hard to be still, and then whop. And I'd think, no, it doesn't hurt you like that. But I'm sure it did, because when a parent loves, it does hurt. Amen. Oh, man, if you could see that crazy belt. It was so funny. You know, and Ricky has a crazy sense of humor anyway. But the Lord is not going to do anything that he doesn't have to do to get us to a place where we are shining with the glory of the Lord. That's what he wants for us. He wants to be able to brag about us. That's what it says in the book of Zechariah. He wants to brag about us. And so he does what he has to do so that he can turn around and say, this is my son, of whom I am well pleased. Amen. So here we have things that we're already seeing movement in. How many of you would agree with me that he is dealing with the media? Just raise your hand. And what about immigration? Do you think that he's wrong in his immigration? I want to tell you, I've had so many visions. So many visions of ISIS coming over to America and absolutely devastating this nation because there was no protection against it. Years. It isn't just visions either. It's dreams. It's being taken up into the realm of the spirit to show me what's going to happen if God can't intervene against it. And it is horrible. The economy, there's still a lot more work to do on the economy, and we've got to keep praying it. Pray it through. We can pray it through. We do not have to go bust right now. I don't care what anybody says. We don't have to. The Lord can do things aside from the heavy discipline because of all the intercession that has gone on. But we've got to keep praying about it until we see it happen. He wants to heal the African-American community in America. You know, he's still telling me there's going to be warfare in the inner cities. And if we cannot pray this thing through, then we're going to see warfare in the American cities. So please keep praying about that. But we are seeing movement toward healing. Amen? Yeah. Education, military, and adjusting their war versus peace. Healing of U.S. instead of destruction. Obamacare, corruption, i.e. the Clintons, the Soros. Then go on the government site and sign the petition that is there for us to find Soros and get him out of America. Will you do that for us? Well, that's about it for right now, but if we can just get our prayers centered around those things for right now, it will help a lot. And we are still having prayers several times a week, so we will keep feeding you what needs some fervent prayer. And we do have two or three items that really need you to undertake. So stay with us, and God will answer every prayer. He will. And he won't answer it with, well, I don't know. But he'll answer it with a yes or no. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. I'm so glad that he loves us. I want to say to you that he wants to come in and he wants to groom every interior part. I think there's not anybody in the world that needs it more than me. I'm being honest with you. I need his hand making me, remaking me, shaping me. He's worked hard to get me where I am. There are just some things that people can say about me that can't touch me because they can say it 1,000 times, but I know better. That thing in me is dead. But that doesn't mean that there aren't things inside me that need to die. And the same is true for you. What we as a church need to come to is a place of such humility that we don't even know who else needs to be refined. We're so busy looking at our own heart. And if our heart is what our eyes are on, we're not pointing the finger at somebody else. Am I right? And every time we point the finger at somebody else, guess who falls under judgment? That's right. You might point the finger. Well, go get her, God. But that doesn't send him to go get me. Each and every one of us have areas in our soul that need deep refinement. And, you know, if you're part of the fivefold ministry, people just love to point the finger at you rather than themselves, as though they're going to accomplish something by doing that. And all they accomplish is God's dealing and judgment. Because every time we judge, we are judged. It's that simple. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And if your judgment has caused his prophets harm, you are going to be disciplined for it, I promise you. Nothing can stop it, and it's your own fault. You've got to keep your heart pure. Pray for your pastors, your leaders, whoever they are, spiritual leaders. Pray for them so that the Lord can bless you. He's done dealing with them, and he swings back around, picks you up, picks both of you up, and he blesses you both simultaneously. But boy, oh boy, if you've come against a prophet, I don't care what your excuse is, you are in trouble. It's just the way it is. Touch not my anointing and do my prophets no wrong. I had one man in Hawaii say to me one time, well, how in the world do you get these prophets to straighten up if you can't ever, you know, tattle on them? I said, you sound like you think God doesn't know what the prophets do. Well, if he does, why doesn't he deal with them? How do you want him to deal with them? Hard. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. God will deal with his prophets, but he needs the church to pray the blessings. I can remember when John Hyde was praying over a church and over the pastor of that church. And the Lord sent his hand down upon his mouth. And he said, shh. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm, John. If you want me to bless you for the hours that you spend praying for this pastor, you've got to change the way you pray. Because what you're doing is storing up my discipline for you. John was absolutely shocked. He had no idea. No one had ever taught him how to pray for people in the ministry. He said, you just start praying the blessings upon these people, and I will correct where the correction is needed. If your heart is always to see ministers blessed, 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 blessed for watching over your soul, even if they make mistakes, God will bless you. Bless and bless and bless and bless. But when you start being judgmental and critical, the blessings stop. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's one good scripture. I can remember years ago, some people decided that, you know, I was just the awfulest thing that God had ever put on the earth. And they kept complaining and kept complaining and kept complaining. One day, in the course of our gathering, he went and tapped every one of those people and told them, "You will not be coming back. Your heart is all wrong." And incidentally, Nita's getting a promotion. I can remember another man who had built a jar like this of sins that I was supposed to have committed. And he had it filled with beans. And at the end of the beans, where there was no more room, the Lord said, "What are you doing there?" He said, "I'm filling this jar with beans that represent all the sins that Nita's committed against me." And the Lord said, "Oh, had you talked to me about those sins?" He said, "Oh, yeah." "Oh, what did I say?" He said, "I don't know, because it didn't feel like you answered. That's why I thought I'd put it in a jar and hand it to you." He said, "Well, is it possible I disagreed with you?" "You disagreed? You really disagreed?" "Oh, absolutely. You see all the beans in that jar? I want you to dump them out. What are you going to do about all these beans?" "Nothing." "Nita's getting a promotion. I want you to dump out the beans. You can leave 2 beans in the bottom of the jar." And the man said, "For what?" "Well, because there is one area that she did do a little bit on. Most she didn't touch. But the area that she did wrong on was very, very little. The bean very, very small. And so we'll let her repent over that wrongdoing, because she likes to be pure." "You really are not going to have her repent over all these other beans?" And the Lord said, "No, because I wouldn't sin against her. She's not guilty. The problem is not with her, it's with you." Now, I have to say something about this man, because he didn't have to come to me and tell me what I'm telling you. And I asked him, I said, "Why are you telling me this?" He said, "Because the Lord loves your pure heart. And I've spent months hating it." "You deserve to be told. And I'm sorry for my bad attitude. And I'm going to be disciplined if I don't do right. Not you." I said, "I'm really sorry." He said, "No, it's not your fault. It's mine." We have to come to the place of looking at the face of every person and seeing Jesus. Because may I say this to you? If you're criticizing your brother, the Bible teaches us you're also criticizing Jesus. So your goal is to come out of the sin of a critical spirit. So that God can use you to bless the one you're now criticizing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you still love me? Thank you. God is so good, you know. Sometimes we make mistakes one toward another. But nowhere in the Bible does it give us permission to hold on to those mistakes. Our job is to forgive and to forgive immediately, to forgive so fast we forget they ever happened. I had a very, very dear friend that really had a temper problem. And I talked to her all the time, but she could never change. She'd just get mad in the drop of a hat. Well, one night, the angel of the Lord came and stood beside my bed and said to me, turn in your Bible, and he gave me the scripture location. He said, I want you to take this passage of scripture to your friend and tell her her sin of anger is soon going to find her in more trouble than anything she's ever known. Because she is opening the door for possession. And she cannot get free of those spirits until she repents of her anger. I want you to go and talk to her today. Explain to her what I just explained to you and show her the scripture. She's about to fall into some very serious trouble, and the Father wants to protect her from that. So I took the Bible and I went and I talked to my friend. And she cried and she repented. The angel of the Lord came back to me after that and said, you will never know what you saved her from by leading her to repentance. Are you all with me? Do you love to be corrected? Those especially who have prayed for this nation week after week, month after month, year after year with us. I want to see you blessed as much as human beings can be blessed. This is the time to really let God go through your heart like a fine-tooth comb, so that when the blessings start getting poured out, and they are going to be magnanimous, I promise you, you will be the first in line to get yours. Amen. Do you love me? I love you too. Why I need? Why I need? So, my hope is that we're going to be able to come back together next weekend. And I'd like to start teaching on how to walk deeper with the Lord. But I want to tell you, out of anything that I could teach you, I've just given you rule number one that is the most important of everything in the Ten Commandments. There's nothing more important than the teaching on forgiveness. Because the Bible says if we do not forgive, what? God will not forgive us. So this week, I want you please to ask God to go through your heart with a fine-tooth comb and show you every area of unforgiveness that you have and make it right. And you will find that if you will do that, things are going to start happening for you. Some, you may get healed of sicknesses. Some, you've been waiting on blessings, and those blessings will come through. God will just bless you because you're obeying His word. And if there's anyone in this room that has thought you needed to be critical of me, I want you to know I've already forgiven. I don't hold judgment toward anyone for that sin. So you don't have to come up and apologize to me. But please, if there are others in your world, apologize so that the blessings can start getting poured out to you and your family. Amen. Okay. Jesus loves you so much. He doesn't just love you, He adores you. That's why the Bible says that those that He loves, He does what? He disciplines. So we are so thankful that He loves us enough to at times have to discipline us. And there was something else I was going to say, but I forgot. Pastor John, are you going to, is the sanctuary going to be free next Friday night? Friday night. Pardon me, okay. He's so tall, you know. I kept asking John to button up his shirt because I'm thinking he's laying there with his shirt unbuttoned and nothing underneath. And he kept telling me he's got a shirt on, Nita. I said, no, it's not buttoned. No. He has a shirt on. I said, John, I'll go button it if you don't want to. He said, I don't need to. You look great. And your friend defends you. Okay, it's open. So we'll have next Friday open. Please come. I want to teach you how to walk in the deeper things of God. How many of you want to learn that, in all honesty? Please come and please bring your friends, because the time is coming and it's close at hand. You're going to be so thankful for everything I teach you. You're not going to be left in the middle of the mud saying, what do I do now? I will teach you. I promise you. Jesus loves me so much, He has taught me how to go through the battles. Isn't that sweet? And He'll teach you how to go through the battles. If you'll come, bring friends and family. It'd be really great if you bring family, because then everyone can learn and get along. We sure love you. Can I have a couple of you take up the offering? I want you to know that we appreciate what you give to us to keep our ministry running. This nation is not going to look like any America you've ever known, because we don't use the money unwisely. We use it to heal the nation. And you will have your part, I promise you. You look at all the people and things that are going to be healed in this nation, and you will have your part if you support us with prayers and offerings. Yeah, there's someone back there, John.